sometimes think that all the preaching and teaching just doesn't seem to have much effect. But it just seems to go right over people. Or as the expression goes, in one ear and out the other. They hear the word, but it doesn't change their lives. It doesn't affect their conduct. And sometimes it seems not even to affect their thinking. Time and again, I have seen people whose lives are literally a mess, living in poverty and dealing with health issues and legal problems. People with nothing in this world to lose, but yet they refuse the hope and the goodness and the joy of the gospel. They refuse to repent, to turn from their sin, and to embrace Jesus Christ. So you might wonder, has the Word of God lost its power? Or perhaps maybe you have just been an ineffective herald. Maybe we need to train more and study more and work more. Well, Jesus' parable of the soils will help us to understand that that is not the problem. The words of Jesus will help us understand why there are different responses to the gospel and why so often the message of Christ seems so ineffective. The parable of the soils was one of the first that our Lord gave in his ministry. A setting is found in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, and we read this: On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathering together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables. Jesus is teaching, and he's surrounded, we're told, by multitudes, thousands of people, a large crowd. And they begin to crowd closer and closer to him so they can hear better. No PA systems back then. It was so close that he stepped into a boat and sat in the boat and pushed off from the shore a little bit and continued to teach. And we're told that he taught in particular parables. You may have wondered, why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did Jesus tell these stories that seemed so elusive as to their meaning? Well, the disciples asked that very question. Notice again chapter 13 and verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, that is Jesus, why do you speak in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Ah. He speaks in parables to hide the truth. So Jesus used parables to teach and to instruct his disciples while hiding the truth from the lost. So unbelievers would hear the words of the Lord, but they failed to understand them. He uses the word mysteries. These aren't secret things for the initiated. They are mysteries. They are things that are hidden until they are revealed, and then they are clear. The parable of the soils is really a pretty straightforward. And once you hear the words of Jesus explaining it, it's like, ah, simple. Today, when a farmer plants his crop, say wheat, he carefully tills the soil and then plants the seed, not like even when I was a kid, at a precise depth and at a precise distance between each seed, and then scientifically, via satellite, fertilizes the seeds for maximum production. But not in Christ's day. It was not precise at all. The fields were plowed, but rather poorly by today's standards. A single plow, maybe a piece of wood or iron, if they were fortunate, behind a team of oxen that would turn the soil along the way, but sometimes there'd be rocks and they'd interfere, and fields would end up with all kinds of different soils and conditions. And then the farmer would go out and he would sow the seed, plant the seed. And he would hang a bag of seed about his neck and he'd walk across the field sowing handfuls of seed, and he'd do it broadcast style. That is, not with precision, he'd reach his hand down into the bag, pull out a handful of seed, and throw it. And they would land wherever they would land. Some of the seed would fall on paths that were hard packed. Other seed would fall on stones and some places of very thin soil. Some among areas where there were lots of weeds. But most of it would end up in soil that was tilled and deep enough for the seed to do well and to produce. And with time, with spring rains, the seeds would sprout and grow. And those on stony or weedy areas would not do well. Perhaps not even produce at all. But those that fell on good soil were fruitful and abundant at the time of harvest. Well, if the meaning of this isn't readily available or clear to you, it wasn't to the disciples either. So they asked Jesus to explain this, and he did. Jump down now in Matthew chapter 13 to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is the one who hears the word and understands it. who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The farmer sowing seed that fell on different types of soil is a picture of spiritual truth. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the gospel. The Apostle Peter uses the same picture in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, God's Word is the living seed that brings eternal life. There have been many books written over the centuries. Indeed, the making of books, there is no end. Many are excellent, and they're filled with wisdom and truth, as well as error and falsehood and deceit and lies. But even the good ones cannot impart spiritual life, cannot bring eternal life and salvation. Only the Word of God written, the Word of the Kingdom, the Gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. And like a kernel of wheat, God's Word may seem small and insignificant, but it is powerful. You ever seen a seed sprout in a crack of concrete and then grow and cause trouble? Can push that crack wider and wider. Unlike our words, the Word of God is powerful. It is living and active and does miraculous things, Hebrews 4:12. It was at God's Word that the heavens and the earth were created out of nothing. And as the Word of God takes root in the heart, as it germinates, as it grows, it transforms, it produces life, and eventually fruit, spiritual fruit. But to do that, the seed must be sown, planted. So the seed, Jesus said, is spread about by a sower. The sower is the one who plants the seed of the gospel. And Jesus, of course, is the sower. And this parable explains much about his ministry. Jesus sowed the seed of the word of the kingdom, as he often put it. And many received this word with gladness and joy, and large crowds, as we read, gathered about him to hear the words of the kingdom. But mostly, the words of Jesus, the seed that he sowed, did not take root in people's hearts. Many heard his wonderful teaching. Many saw his mighty works, his miracles, his healing, even raising people from the dead. And yet just a few months later, they were crying out for Pilate to crucify him. Today, everyone who hears the Word of God is hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone who plants the gospel, who shares, who witnesses the gospel, is sowing the seed of the kingdom. Listen to Jesus' words back in John chapter 4, verse 36. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. The seed of the gospel is sown in many different ways. It's not just the work of pastors. It can be quiet conversations with coworkers. It can be answering questions of your children. It can be through Gideon Bibles in motels or in jails, or tracts, or the radio, even the internet. But all of this is just sowing. It's broadcasting the seed, it's not harvesting. And the sower often doesn't see the immediate harvest. In fact, most of the seed produces no fruit, no harvest. And Jesus explains why this is so. And he describes the four different kinds of soil that represent four different kinds of hearts and different responses to God's word. So he says in verse 19, some seed falls on the wayside. In that day, they did not have plots or acreage or sections of land like we have today that's all fenced in and has roads around it and so on. They had fields out all around town marked off by rock monuments or rock borders. And people would walk through the fields. In fact, on one occasion, you recall Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field and it was close to harvest and it was on the Lord's day. And they grabbed some of the heads of grain and rubbed it in their hands and ate it. And the Pharisees objected and complained about that. They were breaking the Sabbath. So these pathways, roads, if you will, through the fields would be packed down and hardened, and some of the seed would fall on those. Only to be seen and eaten by the birds, Jesus said. Jesus said, this is the person who hears the gospel and has no understanding of its value, no comprehension of its worth. And Satan comes along and snatches it away. They're hard-hearted, spiritually cold, indifferent. And the crowds around Christ, think of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, educated in the scriptures, knowledgeable about theology. And yet they despised Christ and his message of grace. And they had no desire to learn from him or to gain greater spiritual understanding. Their minds were closed to spiritual truth. So they could hear God's word. They could study it. They could be experts in the law. But there was no real hearing, no real understanding and grasping of spiritual truth. And their hearts were not changed. There was no delight, as we read earlier in Psalm 119. No delight in God's word and commandments and the things of God. And the seed did not take root. And there's a stony ground, verses 20 and 21. Stones, maybe just a little dirt over them. And it might even look good, but isn't. And the seeds sprout and start to grow and things look promising, but there are no roots because of the rocks. And that means no water. No nourishment, and the hot sun comes out and quickly dries them up. Jesus said those would be the shallow-hearted, the superficial, the emotional. In the multitudes who followed Christ, many were excited about Jesus and about what he had to say. And they thought he would accomplish great things. He would overthrow the Roman government. And he would bring freedom and liberty to Israel. He'd bring prosperity and peace, Food for all, free food. So they welcomed Jesus. There were hosannas and palm branches waved. But they didn't get what they wanted. Instead of a reigning king, they got a suffering savior. And when their prospective king turned out to be only a teacher, bound for the cross, they turned on him, abandoned his cause, and joined the crowd crying for him to be crucified. Today, many hear the gospel. They even profess faith in Christ. Oh yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. But it's only a superficial faith. It's just words. Often simply an emotional response, responding to the excitement of the crowd, the entertainment of the church and programs and all these physical things. But there's no root in Christ. Mere profession, mere words. And when the difficulties and realities of life come along, when they hear biblical truth, when afflictions descend upon them, as it inevitably does, they fade away. For they are not really in Christ, mere professors and not possessors of the living King. Jesus said, some seed fell on weedy ground, verse 22. This would be those who have dual affections. The seed sprouts up and it's looking good, but weeds are thick and come and choke out. And so they never amount to anything. They don't produce. In Jesus' day, there were those who sought to follow him and at the same time hold on to the things of the world. They tried to have both God and mammon, as the scripture puts it, both God and money, God and the world. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, desiring eternal life? Jesus told him, well, all you have to do is sell all your possessions, give away your gold, and come and follow me. And he wouldn't. We're told he loved his riches more than he loved Christ. 1 John 2:15, we read, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Many today hear the word of God. They hear the good news. And even come to an understanding of certain spiritual things. Perhaps there's an interest and a concern about spiritual things. Even a profession of faith in Christ. The cares of life and bills and problems and even pleasures come along and crowd out the word and keep it from developing, and it bears no fruit. The proof of life of salvation is fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruit. James writes in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because in doing that, you deceive yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The Holy Spirit of God will produce the fruit of the Spirit in those who are born again. Some a hundredfold, some only 30-fold, but there will be fruit. So Jesus said, some seed did fall on good ground, verse 23. Much of the farmer's seed would fall on good ground. Well-prepared soil and healthy plants would grow up and produce fruit. And this, Jesus said, is the one who truly is born again. Of the thousands of those who followed Christ, watching him do miracles and listening to his teaching, thousands upon thousands. And yet in the end, there were only maybe about 500 that were truly committed to him. Only a few in whom his word settled and grew and bore fruit of faith and obedience. As we sow the seed of the word of the kingdom, the gospel, some of the seed will fall on hearts that have been prepared, hearts that have been tilled, if you will, by the Spirit of God, hearts that have been ready to receive the gospel. And the result is not just a profession of faith, but genuine receiving of the gospel and a spiritual transformation where the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Let's think for a moment about the implications of this parable a little bit more. As a Christian, you are sowing seed, and you can sow the wrong seed. And the scriptures warn about this. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, death. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The writer of Proverbs 6:19 warns, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. The results of sowing the wrong seed is costly, both in this life and in eternity. Instead, Scripture says you need to be sowing the seed of the gospel. The very last words of Christ on earth, you shall be witnesses of me. If you want to reap a harvest someday for Christ, if you want to see the lost converted and disciples of Christ formed, you must sow the seed of the gospel. And yet you also need to expect failure. We serve the King of Kings who is sovereign. He can do anything. And he does do all he wills to do. But do not think that you can succeed more than Christ can. Even though Christ's teaching was perfect without flaw, even though his life was perfect in obedience to God, perfect in love, perfect in righteousness, Even though he did great miracles and manifested great power, most of the people Christ taught the gospel did not believe, did not embrace his teaching. Do not expect that everyone you witness to will believe. You should even expect hostility and rejection, just as Christ, who is perfect, experienced. We pray that some will profess faith, but not all will. Ultimately, you need to understand that it is God who brings in the harvest. Your responsibility is not to produce a harvest. Your responsibility is just to sow the seed, to plant the seed, to be a witness. This is where Charles Finney and the Arminians get it wrong. It is not our methods that produce faith in the lost. It is not our technique and our smart, intelligent answers to their questions. It is the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. The power is in the Word. In John chapter 6, verse 44, our Savior said this, "No one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up the last day." Your duty as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ is simply to obey God and to bear witness. Bear witness through your life, a life of obedience, and through sharing the gospel, your verbal words. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 is a helpful reminder of this. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos, he came along and watered, but God gives the increase." God does the drawing. God brings about the new birth. The Spirit of God is he who brings life where there was death. The Spirit of God prepares the soil of the heart. The Spirit of God prepares the heart and brings about new birth. You are not held responsible. You are not held accountable for the results. You are simply called to be a faithful, obedient servant, witnessing to the greatness of your King. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, and it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it, says the Lord God." So in faith, sow the seed of the gospel. Sow it in confidence that some of the seed you sow will fall on good soil. And God will bring a harvest. There's an interesting account in Acts chapter 18, and God dealing with the apostle Paul. And he came to him in a night vision and he said, "Do not be afraid, but speak the gospel. Bear witness to the gospel. Do not keep silent. For I, the living God, the omnipotent God, the sovereign God, am with you. And no one will attack you or hurt you apart from my will. For I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. If you are faithful in obeying the Word of God, faithful in sowing the seed of the gospel, you will see a harvest. You'll see it in your own life. You'll see it in the life of your family. You'll see it in your church. You'll see it in the world. For Christ is building His church. He is bringing in the harvest every day. And the gates of hell itself cannot stand against the omnipotent God. Even though weak and sinful members like you and me are the ones proclaiming the gospel. So sow the seed. Bear witness. Share the good news of a Savior, knowing that God will work miracles through the simple obedience of witnessing. Not because of you, but because of the power of His Word, the living Word of the living God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You for the power of the gospel that transforms sinners into children of the living God. Thank You for the privilege that You have given to us to bear witness of who You are and what You have done in Christ. Thank You, Father, for using weak and broken vessels, merely clay pots that are broken and fragile, and yet through us shining forth the gospel, which is a treasure of eternal worth. Oh, Father, we pray that we might be obedient in witnessing, and that You might use us to advance the kingdom of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Work through us in building that kingdom, we pray, in His precious and holy name. Amen.